17, verse 22. This is a prayer. Listen to this. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Who is them? Us. Let me back up and read that again. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, listen to this, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Do you realize who you are in these verses? If we ever get the revelation of these two verses, it will change our walk with God forever. Can you say amen? You can be seated. I want to talk to you about a couple things. Got a couple definitions. Not Greek definitions. English definitions. How many people in here have ever heard the word Christification? Raise your hand if you've ever heard the word Christification. Nobody. There's a lot of definitions for the word Christification. It gets into a lot of wonky stuff, and I've dug through a lot of the definitions to come up with this one. The best I could find was from a man named Jordan Cooper, and I had to cut out part of his definition. But he said, Christification is the ontological union of God and man, initiated through the incarnation, which the Christian partakes in through faith. Let me say that again. Christification is the ontological union of God and man, initiated through the incarnation, which the Christian partakes in through faith. How important is the incarnation? Extremely important. The reason it's extremely important is because we needed, Brother Eddie, a near kinsman redeemer. The only way that God could save us according to his law was to become a kinsman. The problem was God is spirit. So the only way he could save us being in flesh was to become flesh. This was initiated in the incarnation. Ontological, the study, give me my definition, Shane. Ontological, if you heard that word, you don't know what it means, you're going to learn something today. It means the study of being or existence. You are not a human doing, you are a human being. You ever done something and somebody said, don't be like that? You ever heard that? Don't be like that. This is a study of the way things are, the way they be, the way they exist. Listen to this, an ontological question. Throw that up there, Shane, if you would. I want you to listen to this real close. Focuses on the essential nature of something rather than just its properties. Asking, what does it mean to be? What kind of person are you? You ask a lot of people, what do you do? They'll give you, the first thing they give you is their profession. If you ask somebody, what they're like, they'll give you some attributes of their personality. But when nobody's around and nobody asks any questions or nobody's approaching you, this is the study of the way you are, just the way you are. How many people in here are satisfied with the way you are? How many people kind of like you, yourself? We need an intervention. How many people in here like yourself? How many people get on your own nerves? I got more hands there. It's amazing. It's amazing how we view ourselves. The reason we view ourselves in certain ways is because we spend more time with us than anybody else. We spend more time with ourselves than anybody else. Listen, I spend more time talking to me than anybody else. I know me. I think I know me. I'm pretty sure I know me. But the problem is, Christ has a you in mind that we don't always have in mind. How many people in this room will agree to this statement? Jesus looks at you different than you look at you. How many people believe that's in a good sense? Absolutely. Where you at, Josh? God ready to crush you under his boot. That is not the approach that we should have toward God. And I think sometimes God is more merciful than people are. I believe that God is more merciful to us than we are ourselves. So I want to give you a revelation tonight, because we've been fighting a battle, and the biggest battle we fight is ourselves. The biggest battle we have is our flesh. Have you ever had your flesh get between you and God? Come on, talk to me tonight. Loosen up. Let your brake off. Have you ever let your flesh, have you ever done something in your flesh that you really didn't want to do? And you did it anyway. Have you ever told yourself, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, I'm not going to do that, and you do it? Our flesh, we are in a battle with our flesh. But there is a nature in us that Christ has put in us. If you are born again, you have a new nature. The Bible said, old things are passed away, all things have become new. Can I preach for a minute? When you get Jesus, everything about you becomes new. You get a new hunger. You get a new thirst. You get a new song. You get a new attitude. You get a new joy. You get a new peace. You get a new destination. You get everything new. You get a new anointing. You get new bread. You get new comfort. You get new deliverance. You get new forgiveness. Everything becomes new. You get new. Everything about you is brand new when you're born again. That newness does not wear off. You don't become a new old creature. I don't care how long you've been serving God, the spirit in you is a new nature. You with me? Well, how's the new nature? It's getting kind of old, kind of ragged, kind of tired. God don't get tired. God don't get weak. We used to sing a song, God's not retired, old or gray. He remains the same today. He's still the same. So the spirit in you is renewing you every day. The problem is we put ourselves in the wrong position because we don't know that we are one like they are one. We are striving to become one. We are striving to become better. But he said, I'm praying that you make them one like we are one. With the same love that you love me, you love them. Let me give you this real fast. I know I've said it before, but I got a lot to say. This is extremely important. God loves you just as much as he loved Jesus. What? Me? But Jesus didn't sin. That's why he loved him so much. The reason he hurt him is because he did those things which were pleasing to him. And because Jesus pleased him, that's why he loved him so much. That's not what that verse said. It was not based on what he did. It was based on who he was. Because he was the only begotten of the Father, God loved him. Let me say it like this. Because he wasn't his extra son, he was his only son, he loved him. Because you are a son of God, God loves you. Because you have been washed in the blood, God loves you. Let me rewind. The reason you are washed in the blood is because he loved you. The reason that you are cleansed is because he loved you. He didn't clean you so he could love you. He cleaned you because he loved you. Watch this, Ephesians 4, 23, 24. And be renewed in your spirit, in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm studying today, and I got my notes, and then I got home. And God began to speak to me things that just messed with me. And I went in and preached to Tracy. And it was almost late for church. Because I was there. She said, what time is it? And let me tell you what. These words, we are trying to be confirmed and not conformed. Let me tell you what that means. we're trying to live in a way that God will confirm us. He has already confirmed us. Now he wants to conform us. I'm going to let that sink in a minute. I'm looking for him to confirm me. God, I've been doing good. Are we good? Are we in relationship? Are we good? I've been doing good. Let me tell you this. You will never be confirmed by anything you do. You have been confirmed by what he already done. The cross was enough to confirm you. You are a son because Jesus was enough. You're a son because the cross was enough. Already been confirmed. Am I going to make it to heaven? Already been confirmed. Am I good enough? Already been confirmed. The blood confirmed me. The empty tomb confirmed me. The Spirit of God confirmed me. I'm confirmed. But what we do, Josh, is we try to overcome our flesh so that God will confirm us. We are trying to get good enough that God will use us to do miracles. And you know where we get that from? God will confirm his word with signs and wonders, right? God will confirm his word. So we think, if I can just live good enough and deny my flesh long enough and really put a whooping on me and make sure that I don't do anything crazy and say, then God will confirm me and give me gifts. Your Bible never reads like that. Are you with me? Your Bible never reads like that. Let me say it like this. You can never get good enough to receive anything from God. You receive things from God because God is good enough. Watch this. We fight this battle with our flesh. Colossians 3 and 1. Now let me go on down. Let me go to Ephesians. Romans 8, 13. Let's go all the way down. I got a lot of verses. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. Years ago, they were singing a song at the nursing home, and they were singing that song, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Aron Adonai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Well, somebody in the nursing home thought they were saying, y'all shall die. In the middle of the service, the story says they said, ye shall not die. In the middle of the service. Let me do it like this. Flesh. Give me some flesh. Come here, you be my flesh. Here's what I feel like. And maybe you don't feel like this, but maybe some of us do. And I want to give this to you. I feel like I've got a component of me called my flesh. And I feel like sometimes I fight it, and sometimes I join to it. I feel like, stand up, that this is my goal, is to be one with him. My goal is to be one with him. The problem is him, my flesh. And I feel like, and you turn around and look, face him, because I feel like my flesh gets between me and him. Anybody with me? And when I side with him, my flesh gets in the way. Let me tell you who puts me in this position. Me. I put myself in this position. So the purpose is to be one with him. Now this is ontological, the state of being. You get to decide which state you're in. You get to decide which position you are in and what state of being you will reside in. You can reside in relationship and fellowship with him, or you can reside with him and he gets between you and him. Your flesh gets between. I know this isn't a different person. This is me. Not as cute, but it's me. The issue is our flesh gets in the way. So my whole Christian life, I've spent trying to overcome him. Am I the only one? See, I used to fast to take on him. Anybody? I want to fast so that I wear him out, and he's so tired that I have to be over there with him because he gets out of my way. He's in my way. And when I side with him, there's a problem. How can two walk together except they agree? So that you get to decide who you agree with. But we always feel like we're over here fighting to overcome him so that he will confirm me. Okay, here's the revelation. I got this just this evening. And it may not even mess with you, but we got to stop saying my flesh is between me and him. My flesh is standing between me and him, and we need to start saying, I'm standing with him against my flesh. Yes. Was it? Because, man, when it came to me, I went, oh! I went, oh! You see, I get to decide my state of being. I get to decide how I'm going to be. Now, I can get over there and constantly be wrestling with him and saying, oh, he's in my way. Oh, he's in my way. Or I can get over here and say, you're in our way. Do you see the difference? The difference is this. I'm looking to be confirmed. He's looking for me to be conformed.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, do you hear this? This is so good. Because when I get conformed, it's him working in me to overcome those things so that I become more like him, and I'm conformed to the image of the Son, and I'm not fighting through him. I'm fighting through him to overcome him. What does this mean? The goal is with him. The goal is oneness. Make them one as we are one. It's always been about that. Oh, y'all stand up for a minute. I might get you back in a minute. Watch this. What is the crucifixion about? Why was Jesus crucified? Save the world. Give me some answers. Why did Jesus have to die? Redemption? Substitution? What was it? Sin? Jesus had died. What do we say? What do we hear all the time? Jesus died for the sin of the world. Right? And we stop there. But that was not the goal, was to eradicate sin. That was not the only goal of the cross. The reason he died to eradicate sin is so that we could be joined to him. The problem was sin was in the way. He had to take care of sin. So, do you hear me? Because the goal is for us to be together with him. The whole goal, justification, sanctification, redemption, the whole goal is oneness with him. That's the goal. Sin was in the way. Watch this. Ephesians 2. No, let me go back up. I got so many verses. Galatians 2 and 20. I'm going to start right there. Galatians 2 and 20. Watch this. I am. What? Say it again. What's after crucified? With him. Even in his crucifixion, I'm with him. Man, this is a union. The purpose is unification. The purpose is unity. The purpose is, as he prayed, we become one. And he follows it up with, make sure they know that you love them as much as you love me. Why? Because the purpose is unification, but when I put myself in a position of flesh, there becomes an issue between spirit and flesh. So, Vicky, my whole Christian walk, I've been trying to overcome me. I pray this all the time. This is in my prayer all the time. God, protect me from myself. Have you ever prayed that? No, you might want to consider it. because you get in your way. God, protect me from myself. God, protect me from myself. And I pray that prayer almost every time I pray. That's in my vocabulary. God, protect me from myself. Because I know the problem is, I'm not going to pray that no more. You know why? Because when my state of being, myself, is in him, I don't need protected. Am I making sense at all? Because when I call myself me, I'm talking about the guy that's over here fighting you. That's me. That ain't me. Listen, newsflash, you are not flesh. Let me prove it to you. When your flesh dies, you will still exist because you are not flesh. But boy, in our battle, we put ourselves with the flesh all the time. But he said, if you through the Spirit, get back up. I'm over here trying to beat up me with me. You know what the problem is with me fighting me? I ain't never going to win. But watch this. He said, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you see the difference? The difference is I'm not trying to overcome my flesh so that I can be confirmed. The difference is I got the Spirit moving in me to overcome my flesh so that I can be conformed. Yeah. What does this mean to me? This means I fight my battles different now. I got to fight him different now because I'm not fighting for his attention. I already got his attention. Sometimes I felt like Jesus was trying to kill me. Oh, come on. You ever been in a trial? And you're like, I'm telling you, I never had it so hard until I got saved. People tell you that. Oh, if you think you got it bad as a sinner, wait till you get saved. The devil's got your number. And I'm like, what are you trying to do, Lord? Kill me? He's like, I've already killed you. I crucified you with me. You're already dead. Oh, man. And I've already buried you. And you've already rose again. You're already on this side. Do you know who you are in these verses? I'm not over here fighting this. I'm over here fighting that. Yeah. Crucified with him. Sit down again. I'll be back. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I might as well finish it. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who, watch this, watch how he throws it in there. Who what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you love your daughters? When they do crazy stuff, do you still love them? He wants to make sure you know that. You know why? Because here's what we do. We side with the flesh, and then we put ourselves on probation. Well, after about a week, that sin will wear off. It don't wash off, people. Has she ever said something really crazy and made you mad instantly? It's okay. Yeah, he said, oh, yeah. Happened on Way Church. Has she ever done it and it's like, oh, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. She ever done that? You ever done that? Oh, whoa, no, that didn't come out right. You know what? People will receive that apology a lot quicker than if you just sit there and let it set. You say something you didn't mean to say and you're sitting there thinking, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, but we'll just let that marinate for a while. See how that blows over in a little while. Then why do we do God any different? Why do when we side with the flesh, why do we allow the flesh to position itself between us and him when we can just say, hey, I'm sorry, we're good, forgive me, I changed my mind, I should not have done that, we're good. What do you think he's going to do? He said he will in no wise cast you out because the battle's against the flesh. So where are you going to put yourself? We got to get away from that side and get on this side. Watch this. It's all about union. Every bit of it's about union. Can I keep going? Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried. I'm waiting. That wasn't enough. I'm waiting. With him. I'm crucified with him. I'm buried with him. Do we know the rest? Let's go to the next verse. Where's the next one? We are buried with him. Jesus. No, we don't want to go to that one. Colossians 3:1. Watch this. If ye then be risen, what's that next word? With Christ. We're getting a little louder now. All the introverts are like, come on, introverts, go. I'm getting really uncomfortable. He's not going to finish his sermon. They're like, with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. This is awesome. He's like, seek that up there where Christ sat if you've been raised with him. Why would I seek that spot? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If I have been crucified with him, if I've been buried with him, I've been raised with him, and I'm sitting with him in heavenly places, why don't I fight with him? No, but somehow, all that with stuff, we somehow put ourselves over here trying to get to him. Does anybody's mind think like mine? Maybe my mind's broke. In my mind, when I did the days of the week as a kid, they go in a circle. I'll just come back around. So in my mind, I go, you know, there's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. My calendar's in a circle, and it all comes back around. And maybe my mind's broke. Maybe nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks it's straight lines. I'm like, it comes back around. Sunday's coming back around. Like Wednesday's higher than Sunday. I don't know why I think like that. But I think that the enemy has a plan to make us all think like this. That when our flesh is in the way, we've got to overcome it so that he can confirm us. When the truth is, we can put ourselves in this position and fight with him against ourselves so that we become conformed. Why does this matter? Because I think there are some things in him that need whittled away. Right? Problem is, it's hard to whittle him without him. So I can do better whittling if I got the whittler with me who wants me to be conformed, formed, shaped like him. So guess what? You're going to fight a battle. And you're going to fight a battle with your flesh. We give the devil way too much credit, don't we, Brother Eddie? Years ago, you may not remember this, but you said, it's been years ago, you said, if somebody stands up in church and says, the devil was at my house at 9 o'clock this morning, and somebody else in the church service says, the devil was at my house at 9 o'clock this morning too, one of them was wrong because the devil's not omnipotent, and he's not omnipresent, and he can't be in all places at once, so somebody didn't have the devil. I've seen people try to sing a song. You know, we talk about this. I've seen people try to play an instrument and not practice, and they blamed it on the devil. The devil got in my hands. No, the devil didn't. You just didn't practice. The devil wasn't even around. He didn't even bother your hands. You ever heard that? The devil was all in my hands. No, you just didn't have the song down. The devil's not omnipresent. We give him a lot of credit. The problem is us. Let me tell you who I'm always with. Me. I'm always with me. And if I'm ever not, something's wrong. Come on. Let's sing. Where are we going to put ourselves? Where are we going to be? Why does it matter? Because tomorrow you're going to fight a battle. But if you're fighting to get his approval, which you already have, and you're not using him to fight your battle, you're going to lose. And some people have got comfortable losing. We've got to the place where we appreciate God's grace so much, we expect it. Grace cannot be expected, but victory can. Remember the story? Remember where you began? The teacher gave them all, gave them 3 more days to get their assignment in. Y'all remember that story? Remember that? Then that's not fair. That's not fair. No, what's not fair is I'm over here fighting you when I should be fighting you with him. So I'm going to sum it up with this. I can allow my flesh to stand in my way of God, or I can get with God and stand against my flesh. He wants to do something through you. I don't got time to get into the difference between sanctification and conformity, but there's a difference. The key is that spirit in you is pulling you, driving you, calling you to be shaped like him. I don't know. Is it all right if Taylor sings that song again? Do you feel like singing again? I know y'all probably got something, but I really want to hear it again. I hope you got that. That's some good singing tonight, wasn't it? Good songs, good spirit. Then why are we going to walk out here and let our flesh defeat us? You ever seen them shirts? I think they're goofy. But I've seen them where they, the guy and the girl's together and they got fingers and they're pointing at each other and they're like, I'm with her and I'm with him. Have you ever seen this? Huh? Oh, it says, I'm with stupid. Man. I'm with stupid. Maybe. Maybe we can get us a shirt made. It's like, I'm with him. No, I get to position myself. What are you going to do? Where are you going to put yourself? You put yourself with him? You're going to fight yourself all day long. I know which side I exist on, Sam. I know who I am. It's essential that my nature sides with my new nature. Is there going to be battles? Yeah. You got a new nature. You got a new nature. Is there going to be some difficulties? Absolutely. Is the flesh going to... Absolutely. Where are you going to put yourself? Why is it important? Because there's a world out there that needs a church. That's with him. I really believe that the level of your anointing is depending on your level of purity. Not your level of salvation. Your level of anointing is in direct correlation with your level of holiness. How can I say this better? When you get with God and you get in his presence and you pray, you will be more anointed than you are when you're out playing with the flesh. You see the difference? What are we going to do? Man, I want to challenge you on this Wednesday night. Tomorrow, this evening, when the enemy comes in like a flood, let the Spirit raise up a standard against him. And understand, I'm not fighting to be confirmed. I've already been confirmed. I'm already on this side. I'm fighting to be conformed so that I can be effective in the kingdom. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand.